You are listening to an exclusive podcast on Money Control.
Well, the festive season is almost upon us. Time to whip out our e-shopping carts, because clearly the e-commerce giants in the country seem to mean business. Details of that story coming up on Editor's Pick of the Day on Money Control. Welcome, this is Sheetal. First up, India Business Stories.
Editor's Pick of the Day.
The e-commerce giants Amazon and Flipkart have created apparently 1.4 lakh temporary jobs across supply chain, last mile connectivity and customer support in preparation for their festive sales that kick off a little later this month. Amazon said that it has created more than 90,000 seasonal employment opportunities across its fulfillment centers, sortation centers, delivery stations, partner fulfillment network and customer service sites. Similarly, Walmart-owned Flipkart has also added over 50,000 direct jobs across its supply chain, logistics arm, and customer support. It expects to have increased the indirect jobs through the seller network by 30% over last year, taking it to 6.5 lakh in the run-up to its Big Billion Days sale, which it said in a statement. Now, like in offline retail, e-commerce companies see a significant jump in sales during Dasera and Diwali. The September to November period typically generates a majority of annual sales of these companies, which prepare months in advance for the sale events. Amazon said that it created seasonal positions in cities like Mumbai, Delhi, Hyderabad, Chennai, Bengaluru, Ahmedabad and Pune, along with indirect opportunities through its fulfillment partner networks, such as its trucking partners and also its packaging vendors. Flipkart has said that it has trained hires in various aspects of a supply chain, including handling handheld devices, point-of-sale machines, scanners, various mobile applications and ERPs or enterprise resource planning, as well as other finer aspects of customer service, delivery and installation. Basically, bonanza time for all of us. With insurers increasing premium rates every year, farmers in the government, state and centre are coughing up more under the Pradhan Mantri Fasal Bima Yojana. Now, in 2016-17, the premium rate was 10.75% of the sum insured. This increased to 12.36% in 2017-18 and 12.60% in 2018-19. Now, for 2019-20, the rates have gone up further in Kharif and it's likely to be around 15% for the full year. Now, given that a large portion of the premium under the scheme is paid by the government, the higher premium outgo is pinching it year after year. Now, for farmers too, rising premium has been a concern. According to the Prime Minister's Fasal Bima Yojana guidelines, a farmer is required to pay 2% of the sum insured in case of Kharif crop and 1.5% in case of Rabi crop as premium, and the balance is shared 50-50 by the state and the centre. But when seen as a percentage of premium, the farmer's payout is a hefty sum. With the increasing challenges that farmers face in getting claim settlement from insurers, the rising premium rates are another reason why farmers may not willingly come forward to take the cover. Insurance companies blame the changing guidelines under PMFBY for the increased costs, which has forced them to increase the premium rate. It is now mandatory for PMFBY empaneled insurers to open offices at the block or the tehsil level. Now, the formula for calculation of threshold yield, which forms the basis for claim settlement, has been changed from an average of 7 years, including two calamity years, to the moving average of the best 5 years out of seven, raising the threshold yield. When threshold yield rises, the claim outgo increases for insurance companies and they adjust this by increasing the premium. Costs have also increased because of the mandatory spending of 0.5% of premium collected for publicity and awareness. Another reason for higher premium rates is manipulation of yield data by states to help their farmers get a higher settlement, which insurers in turn factor into the premium. In other national headlines, the Enforcement Directorate has registered a money laundering case against Nationalist Congress Party or NCP chief Sharad Pawar, nephew Ajit Pawar and several former directors of Maharashtra State Cooperative Bank in connection with a 25,000 crore loan scam. According to the probe agency, loans were provided to corporate sugar factories in the 2007-10 period in connivance with the then senior officials of the Cooperative Bank with the purpose of siphoning off money, causing a huge loss to the bank. The probe agency said loans were sanctioned to CSFs despite weak financials and negative net worth. No collateral was taken in many cases and credit was extended based on incorrect representation made by the bank. These factories became sick because of mismanagement and underutilization and were sold at a price much below the reserve price to help the purchasers get wrongful gains. The ED alleged that the buyers had political links and personally knew the directors on the boards of the CSFs, indicating wrong intention on part of the board. The ED has evidence apparently showing that forged documents like a sales certificate were made in some instances, in which the actual sale was done at a much lower level than mentioned in the sale deed. Also, the price was fixed arbitrarily and without inviting a tender. The ED registered the case on Monday based on the FIR filed by the Economic Offence Wing of the police in Mumbai, and a criminal public interest litigation was filed in the Bombay High Court earlier this year, alleging several irregularities in the bank's loan sanctioning process. In other news, Uttar Pradesh Chief Minister Yogi Adityanath has announced an annual support of 6,000 rupees to victims of triple talaq till their rehabilitation and said that they will get free legal aid. The CM interacted with victims of triple talaq under the Pradhan Mantri Jan Vikas Karyakram and said that such women should be given rights over waqf properties, and also called for several welfare measures that should be undertaken for their rehabilitation. Around 300 women from across the state attended this event. The Chief Minister said, and we quote, "Educated women should be absorbed in government jobs as per their qualifications, while arrangements should also be made for providing them shelter and education under various schemes. These women should be covered under the Ayushman Bharat Yojana or under the Chief Minister Arogya Scheme," unquote. Come October, your fuel purchases on credit cards will not earn any cashbacks. Three credit card companies, including American Express, Standard Chartered and State Bank of India, sent messages to their customers saying that cashbacks that they earn on fuel transactions will be discontinued. The text messages sent to credit card users also said that this was done as per the advice of public sector oil marketing companies or OMCs. Now, these companies include Indian Oil, Bharat Petroleum and Hindustan Petroleum. These text messages were accessed by Business Insider India. Now, to give you a bit of a perspective, until now, credit card users were earning 0.75% cash back on these purchases, which was capped at 45 rupees per transaction. This is, however, not the only recent change that was made by the oil marketing majors, who own more than 70% of the petrol pumps across India. In July this year, the government-owned OMCs introduced a cap of 45 rupees per transaction. Only last year, SBI and BPCL announced the launch of a co-branded credit card on the Visa platform. They had then called it the most rewarding of such cards, which would give out 70 litres of free fuel every year. Indian Oil Corporation too had launched a card along with Citibank, and HPCL again launched a co-branded card with ICICI Bank. Next on Editor's Pick of the Day, international headlines, and as always, let's start with business first. Chinese State Councillor and Foreign Minister Wang Yi said in New York on Tuesday that while his country has no intention of unseating the US as the world leader, China expects America to, and we quote, "remove all unreasonable restrictions." These were his exact words. "While China opens wider to the US and the rest of the world, we expect the US to do the same to China and remove all unreasonable restrictions." In a word, China's efforts and achievements of reform and opening up in the past several decades have been widely recognized. These should not be deliberately ignored or denied. Wang's remarks come as the world's two largest economies are locked in an escalating trade tension that centered around US complaints about its trade deficit with China and a lack of equal access to the local market. Foreign companies often allege that they are forced to transfer key technology in order to operate in China. Access, again, is also uneven. One example is MasterCard, also Visa, which struggled for years to enter the Chinese market, while the state-controlled UnionPay has expanded globally. Others, such as Google Search, are blocked altogether in China. Now, in the last 2 years, the Chinese government has taken steps to increase foreign access to industries such as securities brokerages, and also passed a new foreign investment law to improve intellectual property protection and also limit forced technology transfers. Now, the next round of high-level trade talks is expected to take place in early October in Washington, D.C. Wang also said that he hoped that these negotiations would produce a positive outcome and emphasize the business opportunity for America in working with China. Best Buy is targeting apparently a revenue of $50 billion by fiscal 2025, according to the company. For fiscal 2020, it said that it's targeting revenue to fall within a range of $43.1 billion to $43.6 billion. It also said that it plans to cut an additional $1 billion by fiscal 2025. WeWork CEO Adam Neumann has announced that he's stepping down after an uproar over governance and valuation just as the company was planning to go public. Vice Chairman Sebastian Gunningham, a former Amazon executive, and CFO R.T. Minson, formerly of AOL and Time Warner Cable, will take over as co-CEOs. Starting today, McDonald's will let job seekers start an application by using voice commands with Amazon's Alexa or Google's Assistant. Some job recruitment companies have built voice recognition systems on Google and Amazon's platforms, but both companies say that McDonald's is the first direct employer to use this platform in this particular way. While on the subject of chief executives, Juul Labs chief executive Kevin Burns has stepped down amid outrage over vaping. He will be replaced by an executive from the tobacco company Altria. Now, Altria owns 35% stake in Juul, which is a San Francisco-based vaping company. And this is really breaking news as of today. In other international headlines, U.S. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi has announced that the U.S. House of Representatives would begin a formal impeachment inquiry into Donald Trump over allegations that the president sought the help of a foreign country to harm a political rival. After months of resistance in the face of calls from many fellow Democrats in Washington, Pelosi appeared to have determined that Trump's alleged conduct and his administration's refusal to comply with congressional requests for information and testimony had forced the House's hand, leaving members no choice but to move forward with a formal impeachment inquiry. Pelosi also noted that the chairs of six key House committees already involved in investigating Trump and his administration would make recommendations to the House Judiciary Committee, which has the authority to handle impeachment. Launching an impeachment inquiry does not necessarily mean that the House will vote to charge the president with high crimes and misdemeanors. If the House does charge the president, the articles of impeachment would then be sent to the Senate, which is controlled by Republicans who rarely break with Trump. Pelosi's announcement follows allegations that Trump pressured the Ukrainian president Volodymyr Zelensky in a July phone call to investigate the son of Joe Biden, the former vice president and the frontrunner for the Democratic nomination to the 2020 presidential election. Trump has admitted that he discussed Biden on a call with Zelensky, but has denied any suggestion of a quid pro quo, even as it was reported that he ordered his staff to withhold nearly $400 million in aid to Ukraine days before his call with Zelensky. There is no evidence to support Trump's repeated claim that Biden improperly used his position as vice president to fire a Ukrainian prosecutor to help his son. Now, impeachment itself has few precedents. Only two presidents have ever been impeached, Andrew Johnson in 1868 and Bill Clinton in 1998, and neither was convicted by the Senate. Richard Nixon resigned before a vote on impeachment in the full House could be taken. TikTok, the popular Chinese-owned social network, instructs its moderators to censor videos that mention Tiananmen Square, Tibetan independence, or the banned religious group Falun Gong, according to leaked documents detailing the site's moderation guidelines. The documents, revealed by the Guardian newspaper, lay out how ByteDance, the Beijing-headquartered technology company that owns TikTok, is advancing Chinese foreign policy aims abroad through this app. The revelations come amid rising suspicion that discussion of the Hong Kong protests on TikTok is being censored for political reasons. A Washington Post report earlier this month noted that a search on the site for the city-state revealed barely a hint of unrest in sight. The guidelines divide banned material into two categories. Some content is marked as a violation, which sees it deleted from the site entirely and can lead to a user being banned from the service. But lesser infringements are marked as visible to self, which leaves the content up but limits its distribution through TikTok's algorithmically curated feed. This latter enforcement technique means that it can be unclear to users whether they have posted infringing content or if their post simply has not been deemed compelling enough to be shared widely by the notoriously unpredictable algorithm. With the US 2020 presidential election looming, Facebook on Tuesday said that it will not fact-check or remove content posted by politicians, even if it is in violation of the company's rules. The company will treat speech from politicians as newsworthy content that should be seen and heard, wrote Nick Clegg, Facebook's vice president of global affairs and communications, in a blog post. He said, and we quote him, "We have a responsibility to protect the platform from outside interference and to make sure that when people pay us for political ads, we make it as transparent as possible. But it is not our role to intervene when politicians speak," unquote. The only times Facebook will make exceptions are if a politician's speech endangers people or if the speech is a paid ad that is not in compliance with Facebook's community standards, Clegg said. Facebook will also demote but not remove content shared by a politician that has previously been debunked by the company's fact-checkers, Clegg also added. A global conference on poverty is to take place in Africa's largest slum in an effort to make sure that the poorest get a voice. The inaugural World Poverty Forum will be announced today in New York City at the Decade of Action event that's taking place during the UN General Assembly week. Social entrepreneur Kennedy Odede was raised in the slum of Kibera in Nairobi, has founded this event to bring world leaders and policymakers together to change the dynamic of the way that big global issues are being discussed. He said it was about making, and we quote, "worlds collide," unquote. The forum is designed to tackle world poverty by reversing the often unequal power dynamics of development conferences and will take place in January. WPF will be one of the firsts in next year's plan to accelerate progress towards meeting the Sustainable Development Goals. which are being criticized at the UNGA this week as being off course and unlikely to be met by the 2030 target. A two-day program will focus on practical solutions to the issues of health, education, conflict and climate crisis that keep people entrenched in poverty. Delegates will visit projects in Kibera as well as attending Hacking Poverty seminars that look for simple solutions to everyday hardships. It will also celebrate pioneers in the global fight against poverty, from individuals and tech startups to NGOs and corporations, with the launch of the first Kibera Awards. To set this in context, more than 700 million people, that's 10% of the world's population, live in extreme poverty, defined as earning less than $1.90 a day. It is predicted that 13 African countries will see an increase in the absolute numbers of extreme poor between now and 2030. Next on Editor's Pick of the Day, the top tech headlines. Microsoft is gearing up to roll out its cloud gaming service, which will allow users to play video games from their Android-powered smartphones. Microsoft said that starting next month, consumers in the US, UK and Korea will be able to register for the xCloud preview. Players will need a wireless Xbox One controller and a phone or tablet that runs Android 6 or later and also supports Bluetooth. Now, despite moving away from some consumer areas like health devices, e-book sales and even its own mobile phone system, CEO Satya Nadella has stuck with gaming and is looking to xCloud as another way to showcase Microsoft's cloud computing infrastructure. The new service also extends to Nadella's strategy of building products that can work across devices rather than just on Microsoft machines. Microsoft hasn't yet disclosed the price or launch date of xCloud and said that it will open up access to more people over time. It is also not saying anything about availability on iOS devices. Microsoft said last year that it was working on gaming streaming service. Google and Apple have since announced subscription mobile game services, allowing people to pay for access to games that can be installed on mobile devices. Additionally, Google has a more direct competitor called Stadia, a cloud-based game streaming service that it will launch in November for $9.99 a month. While Microsoft lacks its own major mobile operating system, it has deeper roots in gaming than either Apple or Google. The original Xbox was released in 2001. Gaming accounted for 9% of Microsoft's total revenue in the most recent fiscal year. Alibaba has unveiled its first chip to power AI processes. Now, this move could boost its already fast-growing cloud computing business and also signals China's growing ambitions in developing its own homegrown semiconductor industry. The chip, called the Hangwang 800, can cut down computing tasks that would have usually taken an hour down to just 5 minutes, according to the e-commerce giant. Alibaba said that the chip is currently being used internally with the company's business operations, especially in product search and automatic translation on e-commerce sites, personalized recommendations, advertising, and intelligent customer services. Now, these are areas that require extensive computing tasks, and the chip apparently can help speed up things. According to a press release, we quote from there, "In the near future, the plan is to empower our clients by providing access through their cloud business to the advanced computing that is made possible by the chip anytime, anywhere." Unquote. Employing the chip in its own cloud computing business could allow Alibaba to sell new cloud services to its customers. The cloud business is Alibaba's fastest growing division and has been flagged by management as a critical area for the future. Finally, a roundup on what happened in the markets today. Equity markets continue to consolidate for the second consecutive sessions, with investors turning to profit booking. Sentiment was also impacted as market participants adjusted their position ahead of expiry of futures and options contracts for the September series tomorrow. Now, that apart, the market also took cues from Asian peers who were spooked by U.S. lawmakers' decision to call for an impeachment inquiry into President Donald Trump. The BSE Sensex slipped below the 39,000 mark to close at 38,593. Power Grid Corporation was up 4%. That was a top gainer on Sensex. And State Bank of India was down nearly 8% today. That was the biggest loser. Now, on Nifty, it ended at 11,440. That's down 1.28%. And the index logged its second biggest single-day fall this month. All of the sectoral indices except for IT ended the day with losses. Nifty PSU Bank Index lost the most, ending down over 6%, followed by Nifty Auto that ended lower by 4%. Nifty Realty lost about 3.5%, but the IT index was the only one, like I said, that ended in the green, but marginally so, up 0.13% higher. Now, in the broader market, the BSE mid-cap closed 255 points down, and the small cap dipped about 1.5% or 205 points down. Globally, the stocks fell to a two-week low and risk assets dipped lower after U.S. lawmakers called for an impeachment of President Donald Trump, increasing the prospects of prolonged political uncertainty. MSCI's global stock index dropped 0.4%. That was a fourth consecutive day in the red. This is the longest losing streak since the end of July. Japan's Nikkei closed 0.36% lower. Kospi in South Korea closed 1.32% lower. And the Pan-European Stock 600 lost 1.4% today. And that's all for you on Editor's Pick of the Day on Money Control. Thanks for listening.
This has been today's Editor's Pick. And you've been listening to Money Control.
And now a word on a subscription product. Money Control Pro offers actionable investment ideas, independent research, insights and analysis from the world of business, economy, politics and policy. Get access to Money Control Pro at ₹599 for a year. Use code GETPRO. For more information, check out the Money Control website or mobile app.